Welcome to a Weird News Roundup presented by the Something Offbeat podcast. We bring you strange tales out of Odyssey stations from coast to coast. I'm your Roundup host, Lauren Berry. This week's episode will take us from Texas beaches where mysterious items keep washing ashore to a special phone installed in a St. Louis public park. Then, we'll visit a cemetery-filled city on the West Coast before we end the show in the shower. Or, more accurately, in a Minnesota radio studio listening in on a discussion about just how often Americans actually take showers. Our first story came to Mike Rogers out of KRLD 1080 in Dallas. He's the host of the Something Offbeat podcast and the Mid-Morning Mic Check on KRLD and more. Jace Tennell of the Heart Research Institute in Corpus Christi, Texas, reached out to Rogers about mysterious plastic piggy banks that keep washing up along the Texas shoreline. He's affectionately named these sea pigs. Rogers has a long-standing segment called Other Side of the News. He interviewed Tennell for that segment, and here's a little bit of that talk.
Well, I found over 60 messages in a bottle. I found a safe. I found a prosthetic leg. I found three bowling balls. Any kind of weapon you can think of.
Wait a minute. How does a bowling ball wash ashore?
Well, that the first time I found one, that was the first question I had. Is like, how in the world does a bowling ball get up here? And then, so over the years, I found three of them, and apparently they're made out of this really dense resin, and it floats.
God, I never knew that. That's amazing. And so now we come to something that obviously would float, and that is these piggy banks. Tell me about that. When did you first notice these?
Well, I guess about a year ago, I started noticing these little pigs washing in, and they're made of plastic, kind of thin plastic. And some of them look like they've never been used before. And some of them are broken open. You know, obviously people have put money in them. But it got me thinking, it's like, where are these coming from? So in the research and looking into these piggy banks, I found where they've been talking about these since the late 1990s over in Florida. They've been finding them up in Galveston and the Bahamas. I mean, really all over the place. And people have all kinds of theories about them, from hurricanes going over, you know, islands to containers falling overboard. And kind of what I came up with is, you know, based on a lot of other debris that we find, is probably, you know, a little bit of, it's a combination of everything. Maybe there was a container that went over, and maybe there's other countries that use that don't have, you know, trash pickup at their curb, you know, once a week, and they just throw it, you know, maybe in the river, or they throw it at their curb, and it when it rains, everything leads to the ocean, and then ultimately, you know, washes ashore.
So, I mean, have we been able to trace the origin of them? Do we know what country they came from?
Well, so there's several different types that we find. The one that we find most often, it's actually made in the Dominican Republic. And so, you know, I think that likely a lot of them that we find are coming from the Caribbean around the Dominican Republic area.
What is the most likely theory as to how they got in the water to begin with? Do you think they just fell off a ship?
Well, I think, you know, there's some of these that we find that look brand new, like the coin slot where you would actually put the money still has the tab in it. And then there's no way to get the money out. Like there's no cork or anything like that. So some of these really look brand new, but they look like they've been in the ocean for a while. Others you can tell have been used because the only way to get the money out is to cut it open. And so some of these do have cuts in them. So I think that it's probably a combination. We've got the, you know, some of there might have been a container that busted open and thousands of them came out. And then we've also got the issue with once people use it, they just dispose of it and they don't dispose of it properly. And it makes its way to the ocean and then ultimately through the ocean currents and back up on our beaches here.
And once they hit the beach, they're pretty easy to spot, aren't they?
Well, they're really bright colors. And right now, over this past month, we've had a lot of sargassum seaweed washing in, and you know, it's a brown looking color seaweed that's right on the beach. And so whenever you have something bright like one of these pigs wash up, you can just spot it easily, like from far away.
Just like walking past an out-of-the-blue piggy bank at the beach might make someone do a double take, a stroll past the new wind phone tucked behind the Veterans Memorial Amphitheater at Jefferson Barracks Park in St. Louis, Missouri, might make someone do a double take too. Like right now, I bet you're wondering what a wind phone even is.
So it is a Japanese concept. It was created by Ataru Sasaki. He's a master gardener in Japan.
That's artist Katie McKay, who met Dave Glover of The Dave Glover Show on Odyssey Station KMOX in St. Louis when they were both hospice volunteers. She's also the person who had the idea to bring the wind phone to St. Louis. During a recent interview with Glover, she explained why Sasaki created it.
And in 2010, he lost his cousin, and he, you know, like us all, we silently struggle with our grief and are just clawing at a way to get through it. And he missed talking to him, so he took a little disconnected rotary phone, put it in his garden, and started having conversations with his cousin. And he called it a wind phone. In Japanese, it's kaze no denwa, so it's the expression that your words are carried with the wind, because you're not directly talking to that person, but they're carried with the wind. And so you have this wind phone. And the following year, there was a tsunami in Japan that killed thousands of people, hundreds, I'm not sure of the number, killed a lot of people. And he relocated his wind phone to a more public area so that the general public could come and use it. And since then, it has sort of, not, I'm going to say blown up, but it's gained traction. And there are wind phones all over the world. There's a wind phone map. I think there was a movie that had one in there. Somebody maybe wrote a book that had a wind phone in it. I had never heard of it. Mm-hmm. I'd never heard of this concept. And I saw a video of a wind phone in Joshua Tree National Park in California. So it was a wooden desk with what I would call a desk phone, like a desk rotary phone. Mm-hmm. It had sort of an enclosure of glass windows, wooden frame glass windows. It was beautiful. And it had a little notepad and stuff. And I thought, wow, a chair. That's amazing. What is this? So I looked it up. I figured that out. And I, like I said, I'm always looking for ways to work through my grief, particularly projects or volunteer things. And I thought, I can do that. Which was not...
Famous last words?
Yeah, that was not exactly... It made it sound easy when I said it to myself. I was like, oh, I can do that. And I have a real love of telephones, even though I don't like talking on the phone. There's just something very... I just think they're endearing and lovely, and obviously they connect you to people. And I just started thinking about it. Like, is this something that I... Could I actually do this? I spend a lot of time at Jefferson Barracks Park. If you haven't been, you should visit. It is a beautiful park. Not many, I think it's slept on. I also don't want it to blow up, so just be gentle when you go. I spend a ton of time there, and I thought, man, I know exactly a place where I would like to put this thing. How do I start this? So I sent in September of last year, I sent an email to the Parks and Rec Department thinking I wouldn't hear anything. I said, I got this little project, I don't know, whatever. I gave them some information, and about a week later, the manager of the park, Joe Montgomery, emailed me back. He was like, this sounds great. Let's meet up. I've got a place I think I'd like to put it.
If someone walked by it, would they think, the phone's
they would think it was weird. There's a payphone there. And ultimately, I landed on what I would call just a standard payphone that you would see outside of a grocery store or on the corner of a block. It's got a black stand and a metal enclosure that says phone on top, and then the payphone would be in that enclosure. And instead of a payphone, I didn't want it to feel transactional or mechanical or cold. Mm-hmm. I had an old kitchen, what I would call a kitchen phone, that hangs vertically on the wall.
Yeah.
And like an old rotary phone that I had that I wanted to use. So, yeah. So if you walk up upon it, you're going to think, that is a weird place for a payphone. And then as you get closer to it, you say, that's really weird. That's not a payphone at all. It's got this rotary phone in it. And then there's a plaque with I wrote a haiku as an homage to the creator, and I just wanted it to not stand out, but also to make people curious.
Yeah, I think it's great. I think it's great, and sometimes it's easier than others to quote unquote connect with my mom, mm-hmm. right? I find myself talking to her, and the next thing you know, I'm thinking about donuts or what, you know. Mm-hmm. It, to me, this is something that sort of focuses you in. It gives you a conduit. Mm-hmm. You know, in this moment, I'm going to do this thing.
Very intentional.
Then I'm
going to
walk away.
Yes.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
That's great. I love it.
While the Jefferson Barracks Park wind phone can help people connect with loved ones who have passed on, there's also one town in California that celebrates its connection to the dead all the time. We're heading there after the break on this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. Thank you for listening to this special presentation of Weird News from Odyssey's Something Offbeat.
I learned how to drive in the cemeteries here.
In the cemetery.
Oh, that's a great place to learn how to drive. I mean,
not a whole lot of traffic.
Not a whole lot of traffic. Nice, easy streets.
That's Owen Malloy of Malloy's Tavern in the town of Colma, California. Learning to drive in a cemetery might seem a bit odd, but not in Colma. You see, this town was founded more than a century ago as a necropolis, according to USA Today. That basically means that the whole town was an elaborate cemetery. Kelly and Bob Phillips of the KRLD 1080 show Own the Road with Kelly and Bob visited Colma, where they hung out with Owen Malloy and other residents who take pride in their town's reputation as a destination for the dead.
We used to play tag, hide and go seek. The cemeteries were like our big park.
You know, it kind of is the park of Colma, right?
It really is. It's a gorgeous one, too. And you never know who you're going to run into when you're up there. Joe DiMaggio's buried right up the street here. We used to always play tag around there. Just lots of famous people are buried all around in the cemeteries here.
So how did all these cemeteries end up in Colma? Well, that started all the way back in the 1800s. But a decision in nearby San Francisco during the 1920s really set Colma's cemetery city identity in stone. Here's Dave Fisicaro, who spent many years on the Colma City Council, to explain.
Around the turn of the century, San Francisco decided the property was too valuable to have any more cemeteries there. So they came out to Colma, which was wide open at the time, and they started purchasing property. And I think the last cemetery in San Francisco was Laurel Hill, and they exhumed, I think, 45,000 bodies, and they're in a big burial site over at Cypress Lawn on the other side of
the Holy Cross highway. was one of the first ones to get by the most property, and they probably will have land for years to come.
And this is the Catholic cemetery.
The Catholic cemetery, yes.
And that voice you just heard belongs to Helen Fisicaro, the current vice mayor of Colma.
And we have an Italian cemetery. We have a Greek cemetery. We have three Asian or Chinese and Japanese cemeteries.
The Holy Cross does have a Filipino section that they just put in the last few years.
Yes.
How many graves?
At least 1.5 million.
You've both been on the city council. You're now
vice mayor, correct.
Of Colma. This city has fully embraced
death. Well, we don't consider it a negative thing. You know, we're the city of souls. We protect the people that are buried here. We don't want to happen to them what happened to them in San Francisco. When they moved the grave sites, if you didn't have the money, then they just put you in a mound, which was very sad. So sometimes you'll have folks come to our museum to try to track down their relative because they do have records there. And each one of the cemeteries has records.
The Italian cemetery in October has cinema in the cemetery.
Yes.
A two-night event there. They have a movie. And then this past weekend, Cypress Lawn had the ghost run. I run a 5K run through the cemetery.
Yes. These are our parks.
These are our parks.
And what nice parks.
Memorial parks, but there are parks.
Our kids grew up here. So they would, you know, when we had a dog, they would walk the dog. Or they'd go over in the grassy area and, you know, toss a baseball back and forth. I took a Girl Scout troop when I had my Girl Scout troop. I took them through the Italian cemetery to show them the pictures on some of the gravestones of what the people wore in that era. So the high button boots.
So it's a history lesson.
It is definitely a history
lesson. That's right.
A lot of people have a negative connotation of death. This town this community.
We embrace it in a positive manner. You know, because I believe in the spirit. My parents are buried here. His parents are buried here. My grandparents are buried here. We just, you kind of talk to them indirectly. And sometimes you get answers, believe it or not. You know, maybe spiritually, but you do get answers.
It's a positive thing.
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
You know they're at peace. You know they're at rest.
To end today's journey, we're headed east out of Colma to the Twin Cities in Minnesota. But before we listen in to this debate about showering, I'm going to give you some context. The Harris Poll released data that revealed the showering habits of Americans. Thankfully, close to 100% of the respondents said that they shower, but just 61% said that they shower every day. A similar percentage said that they like to shower in the morning. Here's Adam Carter and Jordana Green of the Adam and Jordana Show out of Odyssey Station WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities discussing their showering habits. Some of their listeners chimed in too via text, and there are some strong opinions on the subject.
Do you take a shower every day before work? And I'm like, who the hell doesn't?
And I say, how could you possibly have the time to take a shower every day before work?
Every day? Every stinking day. Absolutely, I take a shower every day. You don't take a shower every day?
No chance. And never before work. It's always later in the day.
Oh, my gosh.
So that's
how do you
question.
Wake up in the morning?
No, I don't shower in the morning every day. And...
yeah.
I think I'm okay.
Well, you think you're okay.
You let me know. But Adam does every single day. Talk about, you think the data centers are using the water? I think Adam Carter is solely responsible.
It's quick.
For
okay, can I, I'm going to say if you're a man and don't shower every day, you've got a problem. Men stink.
Do they?
Of course they do. They start stinking at about 15, and they don't stop stinking until ever.
And they don't stop stinking until ever. Okay. So when you wake up, are you feeling stinky, or are you just feeling
like... No, I need the shower. It's just like part of the routine of getting up.
Okay, so this is really just about...
waking up.
Helping you wake up.
Absolutely.
Like the cold water, the warm water, whatever it is, kind of getting everything going.
Yeah.
And you don't...
There have been days where... for whatever reason, I did not shower, and I do not feel the same. I just feel dirty.
Okay. You feel dirty if you don't shower in the morning.
Yeah.
So you've had the experience where you got up, you were late, maybe you didn't shower, and like it affects the whole day.
Or sometimes like if it's late and I've been like working out or go play some sport or something, and it's late at night right before I go to bed, I'll shower before I go to bed, and then I don't shower when I get up.
But right.
Still, even though those mornings when I do that, I just do not feel the same.
Yes. Okay. And this is a good question, because I think people do often wonder about other people's personal hygiene. And when you own a teenage boy or a teenage girl, you have to teach them. You know, when they start getting ripe and their room stinks or their feet or their pits or whatever, growing some hair in places they didn't have before.
Correct.
You need to tell them, you need to bathe more.
Yeah.
This, you need to clean yourself. You need to use soap on these places. But as adults, we've learned that lesson. And Adam, for you, I feel like it's more ritual. It's not really about you being a stinky teenager anymore, mm-hmm. trying to cover it with Axe body
right.
spray. So it's more ritual for you.
Right.
Now, I think if you asked a lot of women, and of course, there are women who have personal hygiene issues that
sure.
maybe need to bathe every day. It is hard on the skin.
Okay.
And certainly hard on the hair if you are shampooing or even getting it wet and stripping it of the oils every day. So I think there are a lot of, I guess you could always use a shower cap, but even the skin, like there's a lot of wear and tear on the skin if you're showering every day.
I did. I'm not aware of that. I know Jennifer, like she won't wash her hair every day.
I don't wash my hair every day either.
That's like, I don't know how often she does. But.
Yeah.
And then, like, I remember a couple years ago, you mentioned that washing your hair every day is bad for you. So I've skipped that a couple
your,
times.
It strips your hair of its natural oils, they say.
Oh.
Right. That's and even your skin. I mean, I know you put moisturizer on afterward or whatnot. But no, I don't. If I don't work out, like if I'm not sweating, then I definitely don't shower every day. Definitely days have gone by where I don't. Is that gross?
I don't think so at all. And I think with the time that we're required to be here and at work and the other responsibilities we have in the morning, to me, it'd be nice to shower some mornings, but I don't have time for it. I'm not setting my alarm even earlier than it is just to get up and shower.
By the way, there's like a million texts.
I know.
I can't keep up.
To Dave's point, you guys work in studio for 3 hours. You don't even sweat. Well, that's not true. There are times when I start sweating in studio. Like yesterday, it was humid in here. It was clammy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
you were schwitz.
I'm schwitz. Schwitz a lot.
Yeah.
I'm a common schwitzer.
Someone says twice a week, whether I need it or not, and quit wasting the water. There you go, Adam, wasting water. It's not AI. It's Adam who's responsible for the demise of humanity.
I'm not taking 20-minute showers. I'm less than five. I'm probably in there for 3 minutes at the most.
Texter, I shower every day.
Yeah.
It's gross not to.
Thank you.
Someone says, hey there, live and work on a farm. Okay, look, okay, that's different. So yes, absolutely shower every day. But if I had a job where I wasn't breaking a sweat every day, absolutely not. Wash my face and hands and that would be it. Be a lot better for my skin. And that's it. I mean, we're in the studio. I do walk to work. I don't know that I'm breaking a sweat, but certainly if I do yoga, yes, I'm getting in the shower.
Thank you so much for listening to this Weird News Roundup presented by Odyssey's Something Offbeat podcast. This episode was written and produced by me, Lauren Berry. Special thanks to Mike Rogers, Other Side of the News from KRLD 1080 in Dallas, The Dave Glover Show out of KMOX in St. Louis, On the Road with Kelly and Bob, also out of KRLD 1080, and The Adam and Jordana Show out of WCCO News Talk in the Twin Cities. You can find these programs, including the Something Offbeat podcast, on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.